Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Bharati Jagdish and Ryan Huang.
Top of the morning to you. How'd you feel about a property down under?
Yes, indeed. That is what we're talking about. And I've been hearing this for many, many years. A lot of my friends saying, I want to buy property in Australia or not.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
For decades, in fact, I would say at least the last 20 years or so. Singapore, indeed, is well and truly punching above its weight when it comes to Australian real estate. If you look at the figures from the Australian Foreign Investment Review Board, in the 2 years to July 2020, Singaporean investors bought up $19.3 billion worth of Australian property.
So if we put that in perspective, right, you're looking at Singaporeans spending $6.1 billion over that period than China, despite its economy being, what, 44 times smaller? Mm-hmm. Australia's property market sees Singapore make up 17 cents of every foreign dollar spent on local property versus just 13 cents from China.
So I think that's significant. In fact, Singaporeans spend more on Australian real estate than any other country, with the exception of the United States. So why are Singaporeans still enticed to invest in properties in Australia? And what can we expect from the property market this year?
Let's find out more from Darren Bradshaw, Executive Director, One Global Australia. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Australia Day.
Indeed. You can call me Michael J. Dundee. I'm a national treasure.
That's not a knife.
I don't know what to do.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good morning.
Well, since it is Australia Day, I think it is so apt that we're talking about this today. Tell us more about what you have launched, which is this One Global Australia, a new boutique luxury property agency. Hey, we know that Australia is a large country. What areas are you focusing on? What exactly are the reasons for the creation of this boutique agency at this point?
Okay, well, the boutique agency One Global Property was actually created about 5 or 6 years ago by a UK group, and they've set up their base here in Singapore, but they also have offices in KL and Hong Kong, and it's really been established just to assist Singaporeans or investors from other countries, which we've just mentioned, to buy overseas. And UK has been, the key focus over the last 5 years, and during COVID, I think, just looking at additional revenue streams, where do Singaporeans like buying in addition to the UK? And Australia generally is one of the key countries, as you've seen from the numbers that you've just mentioned. It's one of the largest places that Singapore has invested money at around $20 billion just over the last 2 to 3 years. Although a lot of that money, of course, is at a corporate level, major property funds, etc. GIC, of course, the Singapore government has put, I think, just $1.3 billion into build to rent or buy to rent just over the last 18 months. So there's a lot of faith in the residential market. So it's just an additional business line set up that helps Singaporeans, if we focus on the Singapore market, invest as transparently as possible into Australia.
So since you mentioned the Australian residential property market, tell us a little bit more about that where Singaporean investment is concerned. Which parts of Australia are their favourites to invest in where residential market is concerned?
Yes, look, I've been working in this specific area for about 20 years, and I would say Singaporeans very much led by where foreign students go, and the two key markets of foreign students, Singaporean students go, which there's about 10,000 new students a year, would you believe it, except during COVID where it dropped a little bit lower. Mm. And that's been, Melbourne's been very good focusing on Singaporean students together with Sydney and Perth to a lesser extent.
The thing is, we have seen prices rise in Australia, in some parts of Australia anyway. I understand that in Sydney, median house prices rose by about $100,000. But this was something that people weren't expecting, right? They were actually saying that during COVID, with the resultant gloom and doom, prices would fall. What's really fueling the rise in prices?
Yes, everyone thought the world was going to end as we know it during COVID, but in fact, quite the opposite happened. I think it's really, it's about people being bored, stuck at home, not being in the office, a lot of extra time on their hands, and you know, they're sitting at their desk looking around the room thinking, what can I improve? I'm not going to be able to go on that holiday overseas, et cetera, et cetera. So people have been flush with cash. Employment is at an all-time high in Australia. So, you know, if you want to work in Australia, you've got a job. Fortunately, Singapore is very similar in that respect. But you know, with the boredom, the extra money, inability to move around, people start spending money, obviously, on renovations and if they can upgrade and afford it, moving homes. So last year, 650,000 homes were traded across Australia, which was, that was a 10-year high in terms of properties traded. So people are spending money on new homes and renovations, which I heard you speaking earlier about the Singapore dollar and obviously the appreciation that it's experienced against, say, the US dollar, et cetera. That might help in terms of decreasing construction costs for materials coming into Singapore. Australia construction costs have gone up by 20% because of the demand, obviously, from people in Australia, not just for residential, obviously other areas as well, for raw materials. And that's also reflected in prices. In fact, 25% average increases in prices across all the major capital cities and regional hubs in Australia for 2021. Amazing.
It is indeed.
No one would have thought that.
It's true. And like how you mentioned, everyone thought the world was going to end when COVID happened. I do have two questions, though. One, which country is in the lead when it comes to buying properties in Australia? And what kind of advice would you give to a Singaporean who is considering buying a property in Australia?
I would say, firstly, Singaporeans have been buying in Australia for many, many years. I mean, you know, initially it really comes out of, you know, just as a location to 5-hour flight to Perth or 7 hours if you're going to the East Coast. But it's a very close place and a very strong trading partner of Singapore. You know, obviously English is the main language, so that's obviously helpful as well. But I think at the core of it is it's just proximity to Singapore. You know, there's a government which is seen as being reasonably stable. Although there's obviously been a number of prime ministers over the last, you know, few years, but, you know, reasonably stable country. And, you know, if you look at the way that the real estate market operates, it's very transparent. You know, there's a centralised land registry, etc. So if you're a Singaporean investing in Australia, you know, obviously what you want is as much transparency as possible. You want to be able to, you know, there's very good government data available about what the market's actually doing, which is, again, similar to Singapore. So that's really important. But, you know, if I was a Singaporean investor looking at buying into Australia, the key things I'd always be doing is as much, you know, I'd be reading up as much as I can about the property market, you know, reading, you know, I'd be reading the news every single day, concentrating on the city that I want to invest. I'd only, you know, the biggest issue I see for a lot of investors is, you know, they've got, you know, friends or family who have no understanding about, you know, the property market that they're looking to invest, trying to give them advice. So I only take advice from people who really are professionals. You know, groups like One Global have been set up to assist, buyers, facilitate, you know, buying into Australia. We are working under the CEA guidelines, so we're a regulated real estate agent. So any Singaporean investor looking at buying into Australia or any other major country, please make sure you work with a licensed agent in Singapore. We are required as licensed agents to, you know, very rigorous due diligence on the developers that we work with. In fact, you know, some of the biggest developers that we're working with right now, groups like World Class Global, who, you know, you're dealing with one of the top 10 wealthiest men in Singapore who has a real estate world class global. They've also got a style group, and they've invested into a number of sites in Australia. And one of the sites projects we're actually selling at the moment is called A108 or Australia 108, which is the tallest residential tower in Australia. So it's completed, and that's in Melbourne. So you're buying, if you're a Singaporean looking at investing right now, we've got the model sitting in our office, which we were very lucky to even be able to get into the office because it's so tall. And, you know, we've got 200 apartments in that particular project. I think another thing for Singapore investors also, outside of working with licensed agents and with developers who have a long track record, is affordability. So if you look at, for example, in Singapore, I saw it's crazy in the paper, Nassim Road, just around the corner from where I'm living. What were we talking about? Was it 6,000 a square foot? Like 4,700 to 6,000 a square foot? And you know, no doubt it's at that price because, you know, people love that location. There's very limited supply. So, you know, if you go to Australia 108, which is just out, I don't know if you know the Melbourne CBD very well, but just near where the Australian Open is being played at the moment, there's a big sports hub just out of the main CBD. Yes. The Crown Casino is just more or less next door, which is where this particular project is. You can buy in there from, you know, just 1,000 a square foot, and with the currency, the Singapore dollar being so strong and above parity with the Australian dollar, if you are looking at buying right now from Singapore, the value of your Singapore dollar is as strong as it has been for many years, and it looks like it's staying that. It has been that way for about 12 months now. So that's important.
The thing is, interest rates. Yeah, let's talk about interest rates in a moment. But the thing is also that if you're a non-resident or if you're just holding a temporary visa, there are restrictions, right, on what you can buy and how much you can buy. I notice that there are still calls being made in some parts of Australia for more restrictions on foreign purchases of property, in spite of the fact that right now foreign investors only make up a very small proportion of new home sales. So considering this climate, can we expect more restrictions?
I think it's highly unlikely there'll be more restrictions on foreign buyers. And you know, I think right now the Australian government, like, you know, obviously there is different restrictions because the country is broken up state by state. The big thing that happened maybe 3-4 years ago was that there was a foreign buyers tax brought in, let's call it stamp duty, of 7-8% depending on which state you invest into in Australia. And obviously that's a big increase, and you pay that any person who does not have Australian residency or Australian passport that additional tax. So that looks high in the but now we've got additional context, say, for example, in Singapore and Hong Kong in the form of new stamp duties. In fact, you know, if I map it out, and I have, if you buy $1 million property in Singapore at the moment, and you're buying your second property, so you've already got your first property, you're paying just under $200,000 stamp duty on a $1 million property. But if you go to Australia right now, it doesn't matter which state you buy into, and let's say you are a Singaporean, so in the context of a Singaporean, so you're paying that additional 8% stamp duty plus the local stamp duty, you're probably only having to spend about $127,000 on stamp duty on buying that additional property. So if you're a Singaporean, buy that local property in Singapore at $1 million, so your second property, you'll be spending about $180,000. In Australia, it's only going to be $127,000. And of course, if you're a Singaporean buying a third property, we know that cost gets higher. It doesn't make any difference if you buy additional properties in Australia. You can buy as many as you like, or as you can afford. The rate of stamp duty doesn't go up.
Yeah.
So I don't see any. So I don't see any additional. Obviously there's a huge benefit to the government in terms of the extra taxes which are coming in. But I think if anything, really what the government is trying to do is they've set a target of 200,000 additional people or immigrants to Australia for the next 5 years. So the government is trying to do everything they can to encourage foreign immigrants to Australia. And Singapore is definitely right at the top of the pops, if you like to put it that way. And in terms of foreign students coming back to Australia, which is a huge industry, Singaporeans make up a huge amount. I've got the latest numbers in front of me. So let's say the students from overseas, it's around 500,000 foreign students coming into Australia a year. And there's 1.6 million university students at any given point in Australia. So it's nearly a third of students studying in Australia at university in any given year are from overseas. And of that group from Singapore, it sits at around, let's just say, 10,000 students from Singapore per annum. So that's a lot of students.
Yeah, that actually sounds really good. Unfortunately, we are out of time, Darren. We have been speaking with Darren Bradshaw, Executive Director, One Global Australia. Darren, thanks so much for your time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah? And happy Australia Day again.
Thanks for having me. Have a lovely day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.